The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's community radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And together we are Stuff. And we are here every Thursday morning, 8:30 in the morning, WTBR 89.7 FM, and
WSBR from Lee, 88.1.
And we're so happy to have a, is that considered a sister station?
Sure.
A sister station. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Okay, then we're both doing good.
We're doing good.
Now.
We can. It will be dead air. Everybody will come running in. Dead air. That's our song.
There it is.
You know what? Yesterday I thought of watching the Pink Panther. I did. I thought, I haven't seen that movie in forever. The one with Peter Sellers.
Wasn't he in a couple of them?
I think there were two or three, right?
Yeah.
And then was it Steve Martin who did it? It was somebody. It's not the same.
No.
It's not the same. Martin Short might have been a good. He would have been good. Or Mike Myers. Michael Short, I think, would have been good.
Better than the other
two. Yeah.
Okay. Now I have three true or false.
All righty.
John Glenn was the oldest man to fly in space. Number two, Jupiter is the hottest planet in the solar system. And number three, in the English language, no word rhymes with orange, silver, and purple.
Okay.
Now, there's two false and one true.
There's one true. Okay. That's something to think about.
Yeah.
I'll look back at that.
And you have the thought of the day?
I did. I had one here. And it's here somewhere. You know... I have them here. Here they are. I have them here. There's so many. And I look at them and I think, who the heck said that? and I wonder if the person who said it is worth
mentioning,
you know? So I try to find one. Like there's Lucille Ball, which I think we already did this. You know Wayne Dyer?
Not really.
Wayne Dyer was... I know he wrote a book, like a motivational type person. He said, be miserable or motivate yourself. Whatever has to be done, it's always your choice.
True.
Sometimes it's hard to get motivated.
Especially when you're in a very comfy chair.
Yes.
Cup of tea.
Yes.
A little book.
Yes, and the dryer's going beep. Beep, beep, beep. And you're thinking, oh, man, I don't care if they get all wrinkled. I'm just going to stay here. I'll iron them. And then when it comes time to get them out 5 days later, and they're like accordions, you think, I don't want to iron them. And then you throw the wet towel. You throw the wet towel into the dryer, and you say, I'll do this for half an hour, and I'll come down, and I'll get them all out. And they'll be not wrinkled. And then you go off somewhere to Home Goods and you forget. 5 days later, you go down. You put in another wet towel. And then you just go buy clothes. You just leave them in the dryer.
I don't really know what to make of that because yeah. I know that you're such a neat freak and everything. I wouldn't think that.
I'm bad with that.
You wouldn't be able to leave them in there that long.
Oh, there are things that I'm not good at. My poor kids, that when they were adults, when they became adults, and they began to share things that I never knew, you know, when they were kids.
Yeah.
Said to me, I used to leave the clothes in the washing machine for days. And then you would dry them, and then I would be at school, and I'd always have this smell on my clothes.
Oh, no.
And they never told me. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I was a bad mother.
Oh,
they reveal, like they don't like stir fry.
Huh.
And I made it. But the problem was, when I discovered stir fry, I went on a binge. So we had stir fry. All the time, and they got sick of.
I understand.
They got sick of stir fry, but never told me. Aren't they good kids? So, we have an announcement to make about a lady who's having a birthday.
Her name is Mary Wheat, and it happens to be her 92nd birthday, October 12th. And all she wants is cereal. For anyone who doesn't know, Mary Wheat is the founder and director of the Pittsfield Community Food Pantry, formerly known as South Community Food Pantry. In honor of Mary's birthday, we are asking the community to donate a box of cereal that will be given out during pantry hours to our clients. Donations of cereal can be brought to the pantry, 110 South Street, Pittsfield, Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. or by appointment by calling Gretchen DeBartolo at 413-446-0703. Food insecurity is an ongoing program that is soon to be worse as SNAP benefits are being drastically reduced and food prices continue to rise. Please help make Mary's birthday a happy one. And thank you for any publicity you can give us.
And because we record, sometimes you'll hear some of the things that we announce and it's past. So forgive us for that, but we're not sure when the shows will air and if we have to do a repeat. So with that said, Berkshire Hills Country Club is having a fall festival craft fair on Sunday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 500 Benedict Road in Pittsfield. There are local crafters featuring unique handmade clothing and accessories, seasonal decor, Christmas items, woodworking items, wreaths, and much more. So hopefully you'll hear this before the 19th. And come and enjoy.
And bring your cereal.
And bring your cereal for this lady's. You could probably bring the cereal even though it's after the date, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll always need that, right? All righty.
I have, well, it is the month. Somebody ring you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. Good.
Oh, I thought if it was going to be funny, we could use it.
I didn't read it. I just heard it.
Oh.
The month. Are you talking about the month of October?
I am talking about the month of October.
And are you talking about Halloween?
I am.
I know you were.
And I don't want to do the regular things that we usually do for holidays and such did this and so did that and they ate this and I went to movies and I know you like movies.
Uh-huh.
And Melissa Jane Lee happened to have an A to Z list of Halloween movies. And so I picked from each letter the oldest one I could find.
Oh.
Because you've already seen the new ones, or you've heard about them and you're familiar with them. And some of these you may not have heard about.
Are you going to tell us what they're about?
Yep.
Oh. I don't like the gory, gruesome, demonic, bloody, scare me to death ones.
Well, then don't listen.
No, I'll listen. I just don't like to watch them.
I don't either.
Sorry, I have a little tickle. I have a little tickle in my throat. So when I go away, I usually buy a magazine, and one of them, my go-to magazine, is Reader's Digest. So there's all kinds of stuff in Reader's Digest that's all really just fun to read when you're on a plane. So in Reader's Digest, they have life in the United States, and they had this thing called Happy Grandparents Day, and it's actually on September 7th. I didn't know. Did you get a card? I didn't.
I'm not a grandparent.
Oh, okay. they create the holidays. I don't think there was a National Grandparents Day when my grandparents were alive.
I don't think so.
It's to sell cards and make money.
Sure.
My 11-year-old grandson asked me what year I was born. I told him 1943. He replied, "Come on, really?" Isn't that cute?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that makes you want to go to the plastic surgeon.
Gee.
This next one is, I was playing with my four-year-old grandson in his backyard when some young friends of his approached the fence. My grandson, showing great maturity, introduced me to them. "This is my grandpa," he told them. "His name is Grandpa."
That's cute.
That's cute. That's like the Mississippi. Mississippi.
I like that one. Well, the first one that I found from the letter A was actually done in 1971, so it wasn't that long ago. But it was a true story. The film is about John Reginald Halliday Christie, who died in 1953. He was an English serial killer during the 1940s and early 1950s. He murdered at least 8 people, including his wife, by strangling them inside his flat at 10 Rillington Place, Notting Hill, London. And that's the name of the movie, 10 Rillington Place. The bodies of 3 of his victims were found in a wallpaper-covered kitchen alcove soon after he had moved out. The remains of 2 more were discovered in the garden. His wife's body was found beneath the floorboards. He was arrested, convicted, and hanged.
Oh, gosh.
So that's the first movie. That's a Halloween movie.
What year?
1971.
That's an old movie?
Well,
I know.
For some of the kids today, it's a very old movie.
I know. I thought you were going to have movies from 1930, 1940.
There are a couple of those.
Oh, good. Oh, good. All right. I used to work at a call center, and the substitutes people used when they don't know the phonetic of alphabet are hilarious. One man, do you follow?
No.
Like when you say to someone, "My name is Lynn Arsenault, A-R-S is in Sam, E-N."
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I used to work at a call center, and the substitutes people use when they don't know the phonetic alphabet are hilarious. One man said, "C as in Czechoslovakia."
That's kind of that's hyperbolic.
Yeah. Oh, we looked that up. So on a previous show, we talked about hyperbolic. We were talking about how to be a good conversationalist. Mm-hmm. and it said not to be hyperbolic.
Right.
Which what did we, which is
exaggeration.
Exaggeration. So I said, "Oh, isn't that the hyperbolic chamber?" And knew at that moment that that my sister would be like flailing, trying to tell me something. And now that I've looked up hyperbolic, I know my sister was laughing hysterically because she knows it's hyperbaric chamber and not hyperbolic chamber. And the hyperbaric chamber is a chamber you get in, and it's an oxygen treatment, and it's and so on. So,
apologies to the audience.
But we were close. Well, we or I?
We. I'll go down with you.
Okay, thank you.
My turn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Black Sunday.
Black Sunday.
From 1960.
1960.
Shall I go slow so you can... Michael Lander is a Goodyear blimp pilot who flies over National Football League games for network television coverage. Secretly deranged by years of torture as a POW in the Vietnam War, he had a bitter court-martial on his return and a failed marriage. He longs to kill himself and to take with him as many possible of the cheerful, carefree civilians he sees from his blimp each weekend.
Oh.
Starring Bruce Dern.
Oh. Doesn't sound gory, right?
Well, what can you think? He's in his balloon. He can shoot down at you.
Right.
He could land the balloon on you.
What's the name of that movie?
Black Sunday.
Black Sunday.
I just can't see a man in a dirigible that big taking on people who are in the fans.
Yeah.
But that
okay. Happened. 1960. Are we going lower?
We're going up and down.
Okay. So here's an interesting thing. What are you doing Wednesday? In the Nordic tradition of, I don't know how to pronounce this, because it's got all the symbols above all the letters because it's Nordic. It's a town, I think. Oh, in the Nordic tradition, Little Saturday, Wednesday is regarded as a midweek reprieve, an opportunity for weekend-like celebrations. University students might party hard, but Little Saturday, which is Wednesday, can also be a quiet evening with friends or an excuse to pamper yourself. It's quite a contrast to the concept of Hump Day, which frames Wednesday as a runner-up to Monday for the worst day of the week.
I don't think so.
That's kind of strange.
Busy, but...
Yeah, so Wednesday's their break, but they still have to get up and go to work on Thursday. Where Saturday and Friday, or Friday and Saturday, if you do them in order, don't have to work the next day. I don't like that.
Okay, all right.
I'm entitled, right?
You are.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the next movie is Cat People.
Cat People.
1942. In an undisclosed primitive human settlement, a sacrificial maiden is tied to a tree. A black panther approaches and rests its paws on her. Another girl with feline features approaches a similar big cat in a cave without incurring its attack.
I don't know. What do you think?
I saw it.
You did? How was it?
Oh,
really?
It was, really, because they were... killing people as their the people were cats. They turned into cats.
As they killed them?
They killed people.
And the people they killed turned into cats?
If they lived.
And then they went out and killed people?
Well, that's a goner.
Oh.
So much for that.
Okay.
It was good. It was a good movie. It was scary.
I like
it
scary.
It was.
But I don't like gross, you know?
In 1942, I don't think they really...
Got gross.
Got grossy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What's it called?
Cat people.
Okay. All right. So, in the world of medicine, I learned that flossing your teeth is really important.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's one of those things we don't like to do. It's like, oh, God, I brushed my teeth. Now I got to floss my teeth. Oh, gosh. You know what I mean? I don't mind. It turns out that flossing your teeth has benefits beyond keeping your mouth clean and healthy. A new study at the University of South Carolina found that regular flossing may reduce the risk of stroke.
Oh.
And who would have thought?
Not me.
In the study, people who flossed at least once a week reduced their risk of stroke. They were also 12% less likely to develop atrial fibrillation.
Heart?
Yeah. Yeah, flossing your teeth.
Huh.
I don't really understand that connection.
Huh.
I don't really understand how they do the research to figure this out. I don't know.
But that's what it says.
Yeah, so floss your teeth.
Okay.
All right.
Dracula.
Oh.
It was 1931.
Oh.
With Bela Lugosi.
Yes.
And if you need to be told what that's about, then...
No, I know what that's about.
No, I mean to the general audience.
Oh, yes.
Tough.
Well, Dracula is a man during the day. And when the sun begins to go down, is that...
Dracula, he becomes...
When does he become Dracula? When it gets dark.
When it gets dark.
And I can just see the scene. The bats are flying around in the dark, and he's looking at the moon, and he's starting to transform into Dracula, little by little. A tooth pops out. Some hair starts growing on his face and his hands, and they transform him slowly, slowly.
Hair grows on his face?
Well, he becomes Dracula. Doesn't he get hairy hands? Doesn't he turn into... Oh, that's the werewolf!
I was going to say,
isn't that a different movie? Well, it's really cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He becomes Dracula, and he has the cape.
Yes.
And then he goes and finds a beautiful woman, and he tries to lure her. And when he goes to hug her, he grabs her neck, and he sucks out her blood. And she collapses on the beautiful velvet red divan.
I think she's seen this before.
And he's dripping with blood, and she's dead. But does he feel bad the next day when he becomes a man again?
No.
Oh. Isn't a man again one of those things in a store that has clothes on it in the window? Okay.
Only you.
So, a new study finds that people who regularly eat yogurt may be protected from certain kinds of colon cancer.
Oh.
Researchers at Harvard's Mass General Brigham Hospital examined data from 150 participants, and they have been providing this information for decades. The researchers found that people who ate two or more servings of yogurt a week had a 20% lower risk of developing specific types of colorectal tumors. Eating yogurt, including yogurt containing the probiotic. There's a probiotic.
Okay.
Many may help maintain a healthy balance of bacteria in your gut.
Well, how about that?
Just twice a week. You eat yogurt?
No, because I'm milk intolerant.
Oh. 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 Have you ever tried it?
Yeah.
Did it make you sick?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
I'm not. But I don't like it.
Oh, you have, if you get plain yogurt, non-fat yogurt, and you put...
I get soy yogurt.
Can you have, is there soy yogurt?
I don't know about yogurt, but I drink soy milk.
Soy milk.
Yeah.
But wait a minute.
What?
We've had root beer floats together. That's got ice cream in it.
I know.
Ah, it's one of those times, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like I'll suffer. I get it. Eat the cake. I know. Eat the cake.
Event Horizon. This was in 1997. Or, let's see, in 2047, a distress signal is received from the Event Horizon, a starship that disappeared during its maiden voyage to Proxima Centauri 7 years earlier. The ship has mysteriously reappeared in orbit around Neptune, prompting the U.S. Aerospace Command to dispatch the rescue vessel Lewis and Clark, then plays the distress signal, which consists of screams, howls, and what sounds like a voice. And the DJ recognizes it as the Latin Liberata Me, which he translates as Save Me.
Oh.
And the person who stars in it is Lawrence Fishburne.
I like him. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Fishburne's had a really successful, consistent career from Mod Squad. He's really good. That sounds like a good movie. I wrote that one down. I think Mark would like that.
Okay.
Okay. So, the worst daily affirmations ever.
Oh.
Don't let anybody make you feel bad about yourself. That's your job.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Right to the ending. It's like, what?
Yeah. Not every day is precious. Waste today. You deserve it.
I'm of two minds about that one.
Yeah, no. I know. In
Maybe
a way.
I will.
But in a way, you think, I'm going to do nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I'm going to stay in bed all day.
I could never do that unless I'm sick. I could never stay in bed all day. Can you?
Well, not through the potty drops and everything. You know. I have to have something to eat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. You have to eat. All right. There's more, but I'll let you go.
All right.
I won't let you go. I won't let you go.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
House of Wax. This was from 1953. In New York City during the early 1900s, talented sculptor Professor Henry Jarrod runs a wax museum that features historical figures who have met grisly ends. His business partner, Matthew Burke, wants to end their partnership due to Jarrod's refusal to make sensational exhibits such as that draws crowds to their competitors. Wealthy art critic Sidney Wallace wants to buy out Burke on his return from Egypt. Impatient, Burke sets the museum on fire for the insurance money. Jarrod attempts to stop Burke, but Burke douses him in kerosene and leaves him to die in the fire. And it stars Vincent Price.
Oh, the king of Halloween movies, scary movies.
Oh, yeah.
The voice. Yeah, he's good. Did Vincent Price do the
He did quite a few.
Didn't he do the video for Michael Jackson's Thriller? Was that Vincent Price's?
I don't know.
Oh, I wonder who did that voice.
I'd have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Could have been.
I don't remember, but it was good. He's got a good voice. Okay, here are some more worst daily affirmations. Try something that scares you, like doing the dishes, or returning a phone call, or leaving the house. Today, I'm putting myself first, if that's okay with you. That's a good one. That's cute. Take a moment to be grateful for all that you have. Okay, now back to wishing everything was different.
Wait, what?
Take a moment to be grateful for all that you have. Okay, now back to wishing everything was different.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yes, and we are going to take a break.
That is, I think.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
How about this one?
No, not that one.
How about this one?
Yes, play that one really loud.
WTBR.
All aboard!
Do you like hard rock and heavy metal music?
Yeah!
Well, then join me here Friday nights from 8 to 10 for Wounded Radio. Every Friday night, I play 2 hours of the best music on the planet, from AC/DC to ZZ Top and everything in between.
This is going to be cool.
Want to hear a song on Wounded Radio? Request it on the Wounded Radio Facebook page. And join me here Friday nights at 8 for Wounded Radio.
Yeah!
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Ta-da.
And we are back, the second half of our show, and I'm still Lynn.
I think I'm still Bev.
And we think we're still Stuff. And we have a
true or false. Number one, John Glenn was the oldest man to fly in space. Number two, Jupiter is the hottest planet in the solar system. And number three, in the English language, no word rhymes with orange, silver, and purple.
Okay. You know, the orange, silver, purple thing, I met someone when we were away that rhymed something with orange, and I was shocked.
You can't remember what it was?
Of course not. Of course I can't remember. All right. Where are you with your scary movie things?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, that was in what, the 70s maybe, 60s?
1956.
56.
Does everybody know about that, I think?
I've heard the movie. I don't remember. I've heard about the movie. I don't remember if I actually saw it.
At work, Bennell meets a number of patients suffering. He's a doctor from Capgras delusion. That's C-A-P-G-R-A-S. His girlfriend, Becky, has just come back to town after settling a divorce. The couple are called to the home of a friend of the doctor who has found what appears to be a body in his home. It has no features or fingerprints and starts to change, beginning to take on the features of him, the homeowner. Another body is found in Becky's basement that is her duplicate. Before any further investigation can take place, the bodies disappear.
The real bodies or the...
I ain't saying.
Okay. Oh. No, I never saw that.
Oh.
You must have seen that.
I've seen parts of it.
Did you fall asleep?
No, I was just busy doing something else.
Oh. All right. That sounds like it might be interesting because it doesn't sound like it's bloody and gory. Okay. So this was interesting in this book. It was an article called In a Perfect World, and it was simple life hacks and grand visions readers share their contributions to utopia. One person says, most cars have four or more speeds for windshield wipers, but only one horn volume. There should be a courtesy honk option to gently remind the driver in front of you that the light is green. Rather than receiving a rude gesture when you honk, maybe you'll get a wave or a thumbs up with the courtesy honk.
Doubt it. I seriously doubt it.
Wait till you hear some of the other ones. They're good.
Go ahead. Take.
Oh, okay. Planting a seed. Now, I've actually thought this when we've traveled on the road.
Okay.
If I were king, I'd make a decree that you have to put an identification sign among all crops. So if you're driving along, you can learn what's growing in a field, exception for the obvious ones like corn. So we know what corn looks like. But when you're driving and you see a field and you don't know what's in it, you'd like a sign. This person says that he would make a decree in the land that every crop needs a sign.
No, no, no. Can you imagine driving down the road going, all right, there's a... Okay, no, I didn't catch that one.
I can't imagine being the farmers and being required to make a sign
that says sweet potato.
It says they have to identify what their crops are. How do you pass that? That's dictatorship.
Now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Corn. Is corn still out? Can we still get fresh corn? Is it over? I think it is.
It's getting
because
close.
Now we have the stalks for Halloween.
Yep.
For Thanksgiving, for November, for October.
There's only three movies for Jay. Jeepers Creepers in 2001, Jaws in 1975, and Jacob Slatter. On October 6, 71, American infantryman Jacob Singer is with the 1st Air Cavalry Division. Blah, 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 blah. Deployed in a village in Vietnam's Mekong Delta, when his close-knit unit comes under sudden attack, as many of Jacob's comrades are killed or wounded, others exhibit abnormal behavior, with some suffering catatonia, convulsions, and seizures. So Jacob flees into the jungle, only to be stabbed with a bayonet by an unseen assailant. And he awakens then from that stabbing in New York City subway, where after he glimpses what he believes to be a tentacle protruding from a sleeping homeless person, an inexplicably locked subway station exit results in him almost being hit by a train.
That was Jacob's Ladder?
That was Jacob's Ladder. And it stars Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. I don't know who he is. Maybe I do. That was really good. That was like you're reading a story.
Ah.
Like a book. Oh, by the way, do you know a radio show that is a scary book story reading radio show?
It's not really scary, even though some people tell me that it is.
Is it suspenseful?
It's suspenseful. It's scientific. Well, it's not scientific. It's science fiction. It's fantasy. It's off left field. It's called Beyond, and it airs every Saturday at 8 a.m.
How to start your Saturday morning.
Get a little...
That's a good time, 8 a.m., because you used to do midnight, right?
I used to do midnight.
Yeah.
But I didn't record at midnight.
Right. It played at midnight. I wonder, you know, we can't track who listens or when.
No, have
which
no,
is,
no
yeah.
way.
But if you email us, you can tell us.
Can you email us at stuffingforus@gmail.com?
Yeah.
If you've ever heard of Beyond or listened to it,
yeah,
or would be interested in listening to it.
Yeah. Be nice to know.
We'd like to know.
We love your emails, by the way.
Oh,
we really
yeah.
love them a lot. A lot of you make us laugh. A lot of you are serious. Some of you have ideas. Some of you answer our questions. Some of you correct us.
Yep.
And that's okay.
Some of us give us ideas.
Yeah. So I tie, this is again, in a perfect world.
Mm-hmm.
I tie a length of rope to a small kiddie pool, and I drag it around my yard when I'm picking up sticks and pine cones. I call it my yard sled. It glides across the grass with ease, no more toting a bucket, or wrestling with a wheelbarrow. So,
there's a pool of with water in it that you...
No, it's just a little rubber blow-up kiddie pool, or maybe the plastic kiddie pools, you know, the hard plastic ones.
That's a lot of work.
It says he ties it. So, Charles, where do you tie it to? Do you tie it around your waist? Do you tie it to your ankle? Because it just says, I tie a length of rope to a small kiddie pool and drag it around. Or does he just pull it when he goes around his yard and he throws sticks and stuff?
That doesn't sound very utopian.
No, but it sounds kind of like a good idea. Because I have a wheelbarrow and it is a pain in the neck. But I don't have a kiddie pool. I don't want one.
No kitty attached.
I don't need one, and I have nowhere to store one. But that's George Bernard from Georgia.
Well,
Georgia.
Thank you, George.
Yeah, thanks, George. Maybe George is watching or listening.
Kill List from 2011. That's not that long ago.
Kill List?
Kill List. It's a 2011 British psychological horror crime film starring Neil Maxwell, Mayanna Buring, and Michael Smiley. In the film, a British soldier joins an old friend in working as contract killers. His disturbed past surfaces as he spins out of control during jobs, and ominous employers raise the stakes.
That one doesn't sound great. Have you ever heard of the movie called The Gift?
There are so many movies that start with the.
Oh.
Hundreds.
I think you would like this. Do you mind?
No.
When this is really
is it a Halloween movie?
It's not a Halloween movie, but it's a... It's not bloody. It's not gory. There's no murder. It's really suspenseful, on the edge of your seat, twists.
But if there's no murder or anything like that, nobody gets hurt. The whole thing just sounds.
Well, when married couple Simon and Robin unexpectedly encounter Gordo, an acquaintance from Simon's past, little did they know that their perfect lives will be thrown into a terrifying tailspin. At first, Simon doesn't recognize Gordo, but after a troubling series of uninvited encounters and mysterious gifts, a horrifying secret emerges as Robin learns what really happened between Simon and Gordo. She begins to question how well she knows her spouse. It's a terrifying, mind-bending movie with no blood and gore. The Gift.
Well,
it's creepy.
Suspenseful like that.
It's
creepy.
Really,
could be a Halloween movie.
It's the kind where if you feel like you're tired, you can't fall asleep. And then when it's over... You lock all your doors and windows and sleep with a taser.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, how about Leprechaun?
Oh, never heard of Leprechaun.
1993.
Oh, I'm writing all these down. I hope we have a snowstorm.
Leprechaun is a 1993 American horror comedy film written and directed by Mark Jones and starring Warwick Davis, with Jennifer Aniston supporting.
Huh.
Davis plays a vengeful leprechaun who believes a family has stolen his pot of gold. As he hunts them, they attempt to locate his gold to mollify him.
Jennifer Aniston? Huh. Did you see that one?
No.
Okay.
So I have no idea.
I have a list of movies, and the reason that I said I want a snowstorm is because that's when I would sit and maybe watch some of these, because I'm trapped in the house. Okay. Oh, I had a good one here. Where was it? Oh, gosh. Oh, here it is. Every fast food bag, box, cup, and wrapper should have a number or a code on it correlating to the customer's form of payment. That way, it can be traced back to anyone who throws it out the window so they can be fined for littering.
Oh, my God.
Now, think it through. Everything you buy is going to have a number or a code on it, identifying how you paid for it and who you are. How do you do that?
I don't know, but I just saw, like in Starbucks, they do your coffee cup. They're going to take time to write down your name and address on it. I say chicken. Fried chicken. You have this big tub, and you throw it out the window when you're done with the
But it identifies you somehow. It's on there. Isn't that, that's really stupid. That's really
that's
a, not.
That's hyperbolic.
Yes, that's, yeah. Yep. Here's another one. Turn your problem into a solution. Most people hit the beach with an umbrella and a cooler in tow. One is unbearably heavy. The other is liable to blow down the beach. Why not sell a cooler with built-in clips or holders on the side to secure an umbrella on a windy, beachy beach day? You already lugged a natural anchor through the sand.
Well, that's not a, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a horrible idea.
No, it's not. Not such a bad idea. I like that one. Have you ever had your umbrella fly down the beach?
No, but I can. They some of those umbrellas are big.
Yes, and they do get picked right up, and can fly down the beach.
So do you attach it to the cooler while you're at the beach?
Yeah,
when it's open.
Yeah, so evidently the cooler would have some kind of tight clips, or you screw it, or you tighten it so that it holds, because the wind can pull it right out of the hole of the sand. So it can pull it out of the clips. So you would put it on your very heavy cooler to hold your umbrella down. I actually like it. I think they
should. But if you eat everything in the cooler, it's not heavy anymore.
Well, then you use yourself, because now you...
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Not a bad idea.
All right.
It's better than identifying your garbage by putting your contact information on the things you buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
1981, My Bloody Valentine. My Bloody Valentine is a 1981 Canadian slasher film directed by George Milhaka from a screenplay by John Beard. It features an ensemble cast that includes Paul Kelman, Laurie Hallier, and Neil Affleck. The plot tells about a group of young adults who decide to throw a Valentine's Day party, only to incur the vengeful wrath of a maniac in mining gear who begins a killing spree.
Nope.
That one will really be gory and icky.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nosferatu.
Is that Spanish?
No.
That's Latin. Is that Greek?
Nosferatu was a man's name.
Is he Italian?
It's German,
actually.
He's
German.
A Symphony of Horror is a 1922 silent German expressionist vampire film directed by F.W. Murnau from a screenplay. It stars Max Schreck as Count Orlok, a vampire who preys on the wife of his estate agent and brings the plague to their town.
It's silent?
It's a silent movie-like type. They put the words up and...
Oh, yeah. They put the words up, that's right.
1922.
Wow, silent. I've never watched a silent movie.
Oh, they can be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the music, they have the little...
Well, you can mute it if you want to.
Because what is the terpsichord? Is it a
harpsichord?
Terpsichord, harpsichord, whatever. Things that go bump, no more. Vehicle bumpers did actually serve a purpose once, unlike the fiberglass ones that crumple beneath the slightest contact today.
Mm-hmm.
We could avoid so many fender benders by making bumpers magnetic.
Magnetic?
If the car behind you comes within inches, magnet force would push the cars apart. So there'd have to be the plus and the minus.
Right.
But what if your magnet on your bumper is a plus and the magnet on the other person's bumper is a minus and you stick?
If you get the people who drive too close to you and they just kind of bump a ride.
They could. So I understand how, you know, you have two magnets and they won't touch.
Right.
You flip them around and they will.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How would they make the bumpers so that they all would not touch?
That would be expensive.
Yeah.
And what's to keep you from...
I guess it'd be regulated, right?
Guardrails would have to stop being metal.
So... They'd all have to be the kind of magnets that don't attract each other, right?
Right.
Like many couples. So, and yeah, because if they weren't, you'd have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you were in a crash and there was that much force, two cars coming together that fast, would you slip off the other person's? You know, because they won't come together.
Who knows?
Would you or would the force make them go together and hit? Or would it be so powerful that they just wouldn't hit and bounce off of each other?
I don't know.
That'd be so cool to see somebody try to figure that out on a TV show, you know?
I have an idea that would be good for the roads, say in the winter, when you make the roads, when you first put down the roads, put pipes, like warming pipes, so that the snow doesn't go crazy.
Yes.
In the winter.
Yes. They have sidewalks like that.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
They have floors in your house like that.
Yes, the heat underneath. That would be really expensive to do. But then maybe they wouldn't have to plow as much.
Maybe you wouldn't have to put them all the way down the road. They could just, you know... be mm-hmm. certain lengths.
Mm-hmm. And melt the snow.
Especially around corners.
Sounds like we've got some personal experience with that.
Okay.
Okay.
2003. Open water.
Oh.
Does that sound familiar?
I think I saw Open Water.
It's a 2003 American survival horror thriller film. The story concerns an American couple who go scuba diving while on vacation, only to find themselves stranded miles from shore in shark-filled waters when the crew of their boat accidentally leaves them behind.
Yeah. I think it's based on a true story.
Oh.
But what I didn't understand was if they were all by themselves in the water, how would they know how the true story is they were left, but nobody knows what happened to them while they were in the water because they die. Oh. I'm so sorry.
So you don't know if there were sharks or not?
No, and jellyfish and stuff.
Well, in case you want to see a movie about sharks, other than Jaws.
Jaws is not a Halloween movie.
Well, it could be. It would gives me Halloween nightmares.
Creepy. Yep.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
So you watch football?
I love football.
This person here, Sandy Kirsch from Rawlings, Wisconsin, says, in this age of great technology, why don't we have a view of the football field from the player's helmet? I love to see what a quarterback sees right when he's about to throw, or a receiver in double coverage about to pull it down, whatever that means. Seeing what the play looks like for the players rather than an Eagles vantage point might inspire some more understanding for a bad throw or a dropped pass. And if we could do it for football players, baseball players could have cameras in their helmets too. And we could put a helmet on somebody in the batter's box, which would be another great step. So, what does it mean when it says a quarterback sees right when he's about to throw, or a receiver in double coverage about to pull it down? What does that mean?
They tackle.
That's what that, why didn't you just say that? Okay.
No, I would say no to that.
How could you do that if you're tackling? You could wreck the camera.
Because you can't really tell without looking at the whole field where everybody is, because everybody has a specific job to do. And if that one person messes up his job, then it's kind of like...
Throws it all off.
I mean, it wouldn't be interesting. I don't care.
I don't think it would be either. Yeah. So anyway, that's her idea.
All right.
That's her idea.
So, John Glenn was the oldest man to fly in space, number one. Jupiter is the hottest planet in the solar system, number two. And in the English language, no word rhymes with orange, silver, or purple.
And one of these is?
True.
True.
True or false?
Is there a planet hotter than the sun, or is the sun a planet?
No.
So the sun's not a planet?
No.
The sun's a star?
Sun's a star.
Jupiter's a planet?
Jupiter's a planet.
I think that's true.
It's false.
Ah!
Venus is the hottest.
Okay.
So now it's up to John Glenn or Orange.
I think that John Glenn.
Nope.
It's the orange one?
Yep. The record is now held by a gentleman named Ed Dwight, who was 90 years old when he orbited the Earth in 2024.
So he was, so the no word rhymes with orange, silver, and purple is true.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could remember what that man said, because I went, what?
I would love to know.
Oh, purple slurple.
That's not a word.
I had my milkshake, and boy, did I slurple. I was upset because my milk was purple. Slurple. Don't you ever slurple?
You want to continue with that?
I'm done.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.